To turn your Bibles this morning, let me get you there, and I'll let you be turning while I'm sharing. But if you'll turn to the Gospel of Mark, and go to chapter 9, that's where we're going to be this morning. That's where we're going to start out, should I say. And I want to share with you. You know, we've been talking about holiness and we've been talking about all of those subjects as they relate to that and what's required of us and what God expects of us. And this morning, I really want to talk in the area of spiritual renewal. Just knowing everybody that I know, if the Lord were returned today, unless there's a bunch of stuff going on in your life that I don't know about and you haven't gotten taken care of, I think that I would expect to see you in heaven. And as your pastor, I would definitely hope that I'd see you in heaven. But we think we know people. Sometimes we don't. And so some things aren't always as they appear. Years ago, there was a television personality, and actually he had done a Sunday morning show for probably 30 years, was a big correspondent at CBS, and when he passed suddenly, his wife or his kids never knew that he had had a 30-year relationship with another woman. As a matter of fact, he had another relationship with another woman. They had a house on a lake, this man and his wife did, but he and the mistress lived at the house. You can take him on down if you want. They're already down there. And Kim's down there this morning. So what happened was after the man dies and the family and the children and nobody ever even has an inkling or a clue, the mistress comes out of the woodwork and says, I've got paperwork and he wanted me to have the cabin on the lake. So it was just like a big controversy, totally out of character for the man. But sometimes you think you know people and you really don't. You can't tell what's in people's hearts. And so we just believe what we see. And what we know, and when it boils down to that, here's what we need to understand. Man will fail us, and man will disappoint us, but God will never fail us, and he'll never disappoint us. That's the bottom line. And so I want us to look along the lines of this morning, spiritual renewal, because we can get to a place where we're not moving and operating in the things of God like we used to. There may be a place. If we can think of another time that we've ever been any closer to God than we are right now, then that means we have work to do. And we have work to do in the area of renewing ourselves and recharging our batteries spiritually. Now, see, we could think we come together as a body. And this is called fellowship. This is what we do. We come together, we fellowship, we have meals together, we celebrate holidays together, we do all of those things, and we fellowship. And there's something that we get out of fellowship. But really, you shouldn't have to have a worship team get you all fired up to worship. You should come in. We can really tell what's going on in people's homes and in their cars and in their lives in the area of worship by how you come in here and worship. So if you're dry there, you're dry here. That's just the way it is. I mean, what you see is what you get, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you can't manufacture up something that you don't have. So how we worship here, when we come together, is a result of how we're worshiping when we're on our own. And so, if we have things going on in our lives, and here's another thing about that. If we've got things going on in our life, and we really want to stay on top of that and stay charged and feel connected, then worship will be a part of our life, because we'll be praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord, because that's how you're going to do that. That's how you're going to come out from under what you have going on. We have a prayer language, and we can pray through some things, but really, we got things going on. We're going to get a heart and an attitude of worship. And so there can be a time where, if we're not careful, that we're spiritually stagnant. There should never be a time where we felt closer to God than we do right now. Now, that's not a condemnation statement. That's a factual Word of God statement. And so what that's meant to do is to inspire and to encourage and to push you towards making a decision that we're going to do those things in our life that are going to push us closer. Sometimes people lack motivation. Sometimes people lack energy to keep doing what it is that they know to do. But let me tell you something. There's, you know, it's like any other thing. You know, God's told us what to do. And if God's told us what to do, we just have to look at what we're supposed to do. So we can talk about holiness and say, this is how we're supposed to talk, and this is how we're supposed to hear, and this is how we're supposed to receive, and here's how we're supposed to live our lives. We can talk about that when it refers to holiness. But how do we keep ourselves level? In other words, you know, not necessarily through the roof and not necessarily in the valley, but I mean just level, excited about the things of God and moving forward. How do we keep ourselves in that frame of mind, in that frame of spirit, that when something hits us negative, that it does, one little thing hits us in a negative way, that it just doesn't push us over to the edge where we start talking about things like, well, you know, I guess God wants me to go through this. I don't know why God's letting me go through this. Well, you know what? It's not God. It's us. It's our attitude. You know, things happen. And when things happen, what the outcome is going to be is how you respond to what's happened. You know, Twanya was telling me the other day, and I saw where Malika shared with you that I testified for you. But there was a point there where Twanya was like, is this ever going to happen? You know, I've been doing this. Is it ever going to happen? She saw some things going around her where people came in after her and they're already moving forward and all that kind of stuff. Listen, you can't look at that. You can't look at that. Because God is putting us where God wants us to be. And He's positioning us where He wants us to be. It could have been that any other position that was offered to the other people earlier may not, in the big scheme of things, get Twanya to where God's going to have Twanya. Okay? That's just in her life. I'm talking about all of our lives, though. In all of our lives, you know, sometimes we're thinking, well, how come this isn't happening? You know, Malika had shared with me a couple times about, you know, I've been to this place and this place, and you know, talking about the work thing and you know, places where she feels like that she would desire to be there because of the hours and how it would work with her life if she was able to do that. The best scenario, Miss Judy would love to get off nights so she could be here on Wednesdays. You know, on Wednesday nights and be in church. And so, you know, what's going to happen is, and every time Judy goes and approaches management, they pretty much like give her the exact opposite of what she's asked for, like they're punishing her. And I've been there several years and has paid her dues, but don't think that God's not going to honor what she's done. She's still going to work anyhow, doing her thing while she's there. And we can sit back and go, yeah, but I've been going through this and this has been going on. When is this ever going to change? Well, it's going to change when we change our attitude about it. That's when it's going to change. And sometimes God gives us the mercy blessing, you know, like, hey, you know, your mind wasn't right, but you know, I'm gonna, maybe you need to see a little bit of light. So let me help you out here. You know, it's all going to be about our heart towards things. And I got to tell you, I've known over the years several people, several Christian people that, you know, they get in church, they get all fired up, they're showing up all the time, they're doing all the things that they know to do. God starts blessing, and as God blesses them, then they start getting busy. And when they get busy, then they go back out, and the things of God aren't as important anymore. Life kind of pressures them, and then what happens is they kind of slide out. Now, they'll come back, but when they come back, it's like, you know, the pressure was worse than when they first came. You know? Why? Because he who knoweth to doeth good and to doeth it not, to him or to them, it's a sin. We know what to do. You've got enough word to stay fired up for the rest of your life. But it's a matter of how we operate in the word and how we're doers of the word. And we can't allow things to come in and bring our spiritual walk to a halt and us get all cold. And you know what the Bible says, even lukewarm, God says he spews us out of his mouth. He doesn't want us lukewarm, and he doesn't want us cold. He wants us to be on fire for him, excited about the things of God. And here's what we need to understand. When life comes to pressure you, that's not God. God didn't have anything to do with that. And isn't it amazing how sometimes people are going, why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why? Well, because we live in this world. We're not of it, but we live in it. And in this world, there's sin and there is evil, and you're not going to walk through it and not be and totally be unscathed with it never being around and never affecting your life. It's how you handle it. And so we have to do what we know to do. We have to stay fired up, or let me tell you something, life will overcome us. And you know, we're living a short time down here for as a rehearsal for eternity. So if we're living a short term down here as a rehearsal for eternity, then we need to learn some things. Well, you can say, well, I tell you what, when we get into heaven, you know, we're not going to have to worry about that. Well, really? What are you going to know when you get to heaven? What do you know now? It's what you're going to know when you get there. Who are you going to know when you get to heaven? Who do you know now? Now, you're going to learn more. You're going to meet more. But what we do down here is a rehearsal for what's going to happen there. So it's important that we get it right here. Where can we affect the most people? Here. So we can't let ourselves... Hey, and it's not that people don't still love God. They do. People still love God. They have things go on, and they kind of fall out, and they'll tell you, they go, well, I still love God, and I know God loves me. All that's true. But, you know, life's getting the best of them. This world is getting the best of them. And God made us to be overcomers. God made us to be victorious. So if God made us to be overcomers and victorious, then we shouldn't be overcome and we shouldn't feel overwhelmed. We need to stand on the principles of God. Let me tell you, if your devotional life is dry, you'll be dry. And if you're involved in ministry, sometimes it can be more like a duty than you just coming in and doing it with joy. So when you complain and bicker and moan and whine about the things that you're doing, then I'd just soon you quit doing it, whatever it is, until you decide to get it right and have a right attitude about it. Because a right attitude is important. So what I'm talking about today is that we all get to a point where we need a spiritual recharge, if you will. And that's easy for me to picture in my mind because You know, we do these power wheelchairs and scooters for people. And, you know, they'll call us and they'll say, you know, I need y'all to come right now. And I go, ma'am, it's the weekend. We don't, you mean you don't take care of people on the weekend? No, ma'am. We take care of respiratory emergencies on the weekend. But I rely on this thing. I can't go anywhere without this thing. I'm stuck in the house without this thing. And my batteries ain't charging. And I plug it up. It shows all the way charged. But just as soon as I unplug that thing and drive for 15 minutes, that thing is bottomed out. It's the way a lot of Christians are. Hey, they charged up, got all excited. But when you unplugged them, because they didn't have anything going on personally, then their charge was dropping because their batteries was bad. Well, the Bible tells us how to stay charged. The Bible tells us how to recharge if the charge is low. But it also tells us how to stay charged. In other words, what do we do? I want you to look with me, if you would, at that passage. And so maybe I could call this sermon this morning, Pastor came by to jumpstart you. Got the battery cables hooked up. We got a little machine at the house that it stays plugged up, but we can unplug it and take it down to the boat, and we hook it up just like it's plugged into electricity because its battery is charged, and we go and we hook it on our boat battery, and that thing will, if the battery's anywhere near still alive, it'll start that boat up. Portable. You know, they've got it now where everywhere you go, they got AEDs hanging on the wall. You know what an AED is? That's a defibrillator. So if you fell out and your heart stopped, they got a portable deal to pow, shock you into life. Defibrillator. Restart. Jump start the heart is what it does. You know, lots of people don't know. You know when they do a heart surgery, you know what they do? When they do a heart surgery, a bypass, they cut right through here, cut them ribs open. They take this silver thing, it's a rib separator, and they open all that up. They put your body on a machine that's operating like a heart, and they actually take your heart out, and they're sitting there working on it, and they put it back in. You're on a machine, and when you get done, they go, sure hope this thing works. And they go, psh! And then they start the heart back up because they just took it out, and they was working on it. My dad, when he had that first heart surgery, when they put him to sleep, he wasn't all the way asleep. And he didn't know anything about a heart surgery. We didn't have Discovery Channel back then. He hadn't seen that operation. And the doctor goes, there's no way, you must have been dreaming. My dad goes, well, let me tell you what music you were listening to, what you were talking about, and let me tell you about putting that silver thing on my chest and cracking my chest. He told him about the whole surgery. Well, after he told the next heart surgeon that, he don't remember nothing. He probably didn't remember nothing for a month, did he? But he literally, they didn't even give him enough sedation. And you know how that would feel if somebody's doing surgery on you, but you know it, and you can't tell them? You know, but you know everything they're doing? That'd have to be a freaky thing. But you know what? When we first went in there, you go and see somebody right after a heart surgery, they look almost like they're dead. I mean, they're like, you know, purple and swollen and all that. Now, that's right after they come out of surgery. But, hey, they made it. You go in the next day, they're walking around pushing the pole. And in a week, they leave. They done had the heart took out of their body, put back in, and pow, started back. Well, you know, everything that happens within the body, God uses as an analogy for the church. You know, because we are the body. And the body operates similar as the body. So if there are times where the body needs to be recharged, let me tell you something. Isn't it amazing? Some people don't pay any attention to the body and pay all kinds of attention to the spirit. Well, you know, you could be Billy Graham and have won everybody in the world, but if your body ain't no good, that spirit ain't here. So they'll take care of their body. They'll take care of their mind. You know? But sometimes they don't take real good care of the spirit man. You know, you can't neglect any of those. If we're trichotomy and we're a spirit and we happen to have a soul man, mind, will, intellect, emotions, and this body, then, you know, one, if there's one part of that piece that's missing, you ain't very effective. So we need to pay attention to all three of it. All three of them, all three of those areas. In Mark chapter 9, verse 20, it says, "Then they brought to him, and he saw him. Immediately the spirit convulsed him. He fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at his mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' Jesus asked the father, and he said, 'From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' And Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.'" So, to even get started, do you know, you do know that you can't fix what you don't acknowledge. So any issue that you have in life, if you don't acknowledge that that's an issue and you just try to ignore it, then there's nothing you can do to fix it. If you're in denial, you know, if like the girl that I was talking to, she goes, "I just believe that that was the man that I was supposed to be married to. That's the man my whole life I've been waiting for, and it didn't happen." Well, then that wasn't the man. Oh, she goes, "No, but people told me." And she says, "And God told me." I go, "Really?" She goes, "Yes." She goes, "So you know what? Now I just don't trust God." And I go, "Oh, so how long have you been angry with God?" She goes, "I'm not angry with God." I go, "You wouldn't tell me you didn't trust God if you weren't angry at God." And then she tried to say, "My brother's a pastor, my daddy's a pastor." I go, "I don't care who's a pastor." I go, "You can't fix what you don't acknowledge. And nobody can tell you anything because you know everything already. And the bottom line is, you're mad at God." I go, "How's that working for you?" You know, God didn't do that. And until we acknowledge what's going on, we can't fix it. So we have to acknowledge it. So when it comes to this area of spiritual renewal, the first thing that we have to do is acknowledge the need that we need the batteries charged spiritually. Acknowledge the need that there are some areas we may have let down. Acknowledge your need that there may be areas that we need to work on to strengthen our Christian walk. This father in the story that we're talking about, he did believe in Jesus' ability to heal his son. And he openly confessed that his faith wasn't at the level that he knew it should be. But he said, "You know what? I do believe, but if there's areas where I have unbelief, I'm asking you that you help me with my unbelief." Now that's acknowledging that you need help. And that's the first thing the father did. He said, "I believe that you'll do this." He acknowledged that God would, that Jesus would do this in his life and heal his child and deliver him from this demon. But then he said, "Help me overcome my unbelief. Areas where I have unbelief, help me overcome that." So the first thing we need to do is acknowledge the need that we have areas where we need to be renewed. That we have areas where we used to be stronger and we've kind of let down in those areas. And, you know, if you think that, you know, you've got an area where you need work, don't you think the Lord knows you need work in that area? But you can't fix what you don't acknowledge. So God can know it all day. But until you say, you know what, Lord, I need your help in this area, you haven't acknowledged it. So that's where we start. And just like the Father did in the story that we read, you need to, in your personal time with God, to voice that to God. You need to voice it. God, I do need help in that area. I'm not where I used to be. And I know that that there's a place where I can walk in you and to not be affected by the things going on around me. Some people say, well, Lord, I do love you. And we do. But somebody might want to say, Lord, I love you, but I'm a little dry right now. I need help in that area. I need to recover my joy. I need to, I believe the Bible, but you know, there's some promises in there, like this girl that I was talking to. There's some promises in there that, you know, that she was believing God for, and when it didn't happen in her timing, she quit believing. Remember, Peter walked on the water, and everybody's like, well, but he took his eyes off Jesus. He said, listen, he says, ye of faith of little duration, of short duration. In other words, he had faith, he was walking on the water. He just didn't have faith long enough. It didn't happen in his time, so he gave up. That's what happens with many Christians when it comes to the promises of God. If you got things that you were believing God for and you gave up on it, why did you give up? So you believed those promises were true, and then for some reason you allowed the enemy to come in and talk you out of that it was true for you. I know that you've done that for other people, but I don't know if you want to do that for me. Well then, that's just like saying that God didn't mean what he said. Lord, I know I should pray. Help me get back on track and have my times of prayer. Let me tell you what, if you come before God humble like that, you come before God with a sweet spirit, tell him what you've got going on in your life, acknowledge the areas that you need help, let me tell you something, he's going to move on your behalf. Let me show you something here. Go to the 85th Psalm. I want you to go to Psalm 85. And I want to show you something here. Some people go, well, you know, I've had too many chances. Well, first of all, that ain't in the Bible. So let's go to what is in the Bible and what God talks about when it comes to this thing of spiritual renewal. Psalm 85, look at verse 6. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Yes, he will revive us again so that we can rejoice in him. And where we start is that we acknowledge that we need that in our lives. That's where we start. Wherever it is that we feel like that there was a disconnect in our faith, wherever we feel like there was a disconnect in our spiritual walk, we need to acknowledge that before God and get back on track. And if you do that, he says he would revive us again. Why? So we could rejoice in him again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Twice he said it, because he knew that the first time, if people didn't feel like it, they wouldn't do it. But God always uses repetition to get the point across. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. The second thing that we can do is, once we've acknowledged that we need that assistance, then we go and ask the Lord for personal revival. You know, In other words, you just say, Lord, I want revival in my life. That's what I've been talking about. I've been talking about that this year would be that for this body and this church. That the year 2013 would be the year that we have revival and we see great and mighty things happening, not just in our body locally, but in the relationships with people that we have and the people that we know and the people who are supposed to be here. In other words, you know what? You can't expect everybody else to come and drum up some type of revival in you. You have to want revival in yourself. You know, revival can start with one person, and many times it does. With one person deciding that they're not going to settle for anything less than great revival in their lives. And when they start having it, they start praying it over the people that they know, and then revival breaks out. That's the way it happens. And you know, when you're talking to God about it, make that appeal on a personal level. God, it doesn't matter what anybody else does, because it ain't about you and anybody else. This is about me and you. I want personal revival in me, regardless of what happens with anybody else. Because if we change ourselves, we're not concerned about it. We want that for everybody else, but we can't make anybody else have revival. If we have that desire, we have to do it in us. And if we do that in us, then we won't be affected by the folks around us that way. Look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51. When David had sinned with Bathsheba and had her husband sent off to war and to be killed, the prophet Nathan confronted him. And when he confronted him, he said, what do you think about a man that could have anything in the world that he wanted, but he had a next door neighbor that was poor, and all that neighbor had was one sheep. And then the person who had everything at his disposal had to have that one sheep and went and took that one sheep. He goes, what would you think about that man? And David said, away with him. In other words, he should have his head removed from him. And Nathan says, you're the man. And after Nathan had confronted him about that, in Psalm 51, look at verse 1, it says, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he'd gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. And then he says this in verse 10. Go down to verse 10. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And look at this part. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. A steadfast spirit is one that it's going after one thing. It's firm, it's solid, it's going after the things of God. It's faithful, it's steadfast, it's immovable. Renew that type of a spirit within me, David said. And you know what? He had turmoil the rest of his life as a result of what happened. But God always walked with him and even called him the man after God's own heart. The next thing that we need to do is ask God, if we've got areas in our life that need to be cleaned up, ask God to forgive you. Ask Him to cleanse you. Ask Him to, He said, that's what He said in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. What is that? That's one where when we know it's not right, that we get it under the blood and get rid of it. You don't carry it around. What have I always told you? If you blow it, admit it, quit it, move on. And that's acknowledging it, right? Can't fix what you don't acknowledge. So admit it, quit it, move on. And it also would apply to people that you haven't done anything major wrong. But if you can ever think of a time where you're closer to God than you are right now, then You know, that surely would fit into this category, wouldn't it? There should never be a time. So we need to make that recommitment. Get those spiritual batteries recharged. I'm not even going to take you to that one. But in the Song of Solomon, it tells us it's that the little foxes that spoil the vines. In other words, sometimes there's the little things that can creep in. And I've told you the Bible says that we're not to give the enemy a foothold. Do you know that he can't get in your door if you don't open the door and get him a place to let his foot in? And so he can't get a foothold if we don't give him a place. And sometimes it's the little things that the little foxes that spoil the vine, the little things that creep in and mess us all up. And I'm going to tell you what, with everything that we have, we need to ask God to create that clean heart in us. Look with me, if you would, at Deuteronomy. Book of Deuteronomy, go to chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8, and I want you to start with verse 2. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that the man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So, that's no big secret to you, is it? I mean, we don't live by bread alone. Just as much as we have three parts of the body, we feed the physical man. Why aren't we feeding the spiritual man? Some people go, oh, well, I'm trying to keep my mind right. I'm playing Sudoku and Words with Friends and Kim's new one, Ruzzle. You know, keep my mind sharp. Keep the mind sharp. Feeding the mind. And we keep the body sharp. Putting all that good, healthy food in it. Ho-hos and Twinkies and all that unnatural stuff that the Lord just blesses us and heals us anyhow. And you know what? We've got to put spiritual food in. Spiritual food is the Word. The only way we're going to overcome is when we're full of Word. And we also need to understand when God's pulling at us. In other words, you know, I believe that one of the reasons that I'm sharing with this with you today is because God's getting our attention and he's pulling at us and he's saying, you know what? There's areas where I'd like to see you doing better. Hey, and not for him, for us. For him to get us where he wants us to be and for him to fulfill the promises that we've believed him for in our lives to get us to the place where he wants to be. There's areas where we need to probably get our thinking right and get our hearts right towards it so that we can attain what it is that he wants to do. But sometimes soul ties creep in. Somebody that we know. You know, sometimes we got people that we know. It could be family. It could be a lifelong friend. And you can say, well, why are you putting up with that? Well, they've been a lifelong friend. You teach people how to treat you. I don't care how long they've been a friend. I don't care if they're a family member. You can love them from a distance. Did y'all know that because somebody called you, you didn't have to talk to them? You know, you don't have to press talk. Do you know when people text you, you don't have to text back? Do you know when they send you a message on Facebook, you don't even have to respond? Did you know that? You can block them. But why do people always feel like they have to? That stuff that they know is going to mess them up. Hey, if you see the phone ringing and you're sitting there holding it like that, going, should I take that or not? I got the answer for you. The answer would be no. I mean, if your heart was like that, just thinking about answering it, you already know. Right? So, we need to understand that there's soul ties that, for whatever reason, we feel tied, we feel responsible. Sometimes it's guilt, sometimes it's longing, sometimes it's connection, sometimes it's whatever. But if that's not a good, healthy relationship for us, then, you know, we have to cut it off at the level where it doesn't affect us. And that doesn't mean that we totally cut people that we love off. I'm not suggesting that whatsoever. What I'm suggesting is that if you have people in your life that your covenant with them goes much farther than their covenant goes with you, then meet them where their covenant goes with you. And you know what I mean about that? What I mean is, if you're giving more of yourself than they're giving to the relationship, as a matter of fact, they've put on the brakes and they're not giving any more of themselves, then you stop right there. Because that's how you know to continue to go in covenant with people. How far does their covenant go with you? However far their covenant goes with you, that's how far your covenant goes with them. So we have to protect ourselves from those soul ties. And so sometimes God gets us in a place where he's trying to get our attention to say, hey, here's the area. Here's the area where we need to work. And sometimes we have things come in our life to see, hey, are we going to do what God said? Are we going to do what man says? Are we going to do what God says and believe that in the long run, God's going to bless us for it? Or do we believe, you know, that tells everything about your character right there. Your character and your integrity means that you're going to hold your character and your integrity. And when it gets to the end, when all things have gotten to the end, you're patient enough to wait and see that everybody knows where your integrity is. You don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to fight for yourself. You just let God handle it. Listen, we don't live by bread alone, but what? Out of every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We can't neglect our time in the book. We can't neglect our time in the Word. And remember, lots of times we're walking through stuff and our answer's right there in the Word. If you're walking through something and you need an answer, then get in the book. God wants to tell you how to fix it. Pastor Philip came to our church when we were over here on Palmetto Street. And he got up and preached this message. And I got the message. But at the end, I got up as I was greeting the people and dismissing them. I pretty much, without even thinking about it, pretty much told the people why I was going to keep on doing things the way that I was doing and it was okay, regardless of what he had just preached, which I knew was directly for me. And we actually, Kevin actually has that CD, and we both remember the name of it because it was what, the gift right in front of you or something like that. I mean, it was the title of the message. And I remember that because, number one, he was there till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And number two, because there was something that happened during that time, even though I didn't get it right then at the time. You know, it took me later, going back and listening to it and really listening to it, to get it. Well, you know, sometimes God's talking to us. He's right there like he's talking to us face to face. And yet we ain't hearing a word he's saying. Like we're going, okay, Lord, your mouth is moving, but I don't hear nothing. You know, we need to be sensitive to hear what God's saying. And it may not be easy or convenient or something pleasing that we want to do, but in the long run, it's for our own good. It's a blessing blocker in our life, and God's bringing it to our attention so we can fix it. And why? So that he can keep one more thing from me to do, because, hey, I'll tell you what, I don't know what we're allowed to do as Christians, but I can tell you what we can't do. No. Because if there's things in our life that's blocking the blessings of God on our life, then we need to get them out of our life. So make sure that you get in the Word. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Here's the next thing you need to do after you get in the book. Go to Philippians 4. Look at verse 4. I already brought this up a minute ago, but it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. So another thing is, you know, we can kind of tell our joy level by what's coming out of our mouth. I mean, you know, are we praising the Lord and thank you, Jesus, and you know, when God's blessing us, we're recognizing that and we're just rejoicing. And you know, sometimes negative things hit us and you can say, well, how am I going to rejoice in that? Well, we're not going to rejoice that the flu tried to attack our body. But we can rejoice that he's our healer. You know, we don't need to rejoice that we got some bill that we know is going to take a miracle from God to pay within a certain time period. But you rejoice that God's your provider. And when you're walking through a battle, you don't rejoice that you're walking through a battle. But you rejoice, as I was reading this morning in the scripture, it says, I am your Jehovah Sid Canu. I'm the Lord, your banner. My banner is over you. In other words, we know that God's angels are all around us, taking care of us and protecting us, and that we're going to win the battle that we're going through. Rejoice. Rejoicing is probably the most powerful prescription without taking a medication that you can have for your spiritual walk. Just rejoicing in the things of God, giving God the glory for things. Look with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. And go to verse 3. Isaiah 61, 3. I'm going to tell you, one of the ways that we get out of being stagnant is to rejoice. Verse 3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So let me tell you something. When we're having a period of mourning, just know that joy is coming. As a matter of fact, it says joy cometh in the morning. When things are looking like they're burnt down and it's nothing but an ash heap, well, God will bring beauty to that. The garment of praise, if you feel heavy. You know, I've heard of people being taken into heaven you know, you hear the stories about what they see in heaven, and they're talking about who they see, and they talk about what things are like. But there's been many that have gone to heaven and have returned to earth, And here's what they say. They say that there's a weightiness or a spirit of heaviness that when you're on earth, even if you're all fired up, even if you love God and you're at the highest point in your Christianity that you've ever been in your life, there's like a heaviness because we live in this world. But they said it's like when they get into heaven, like all of that's lifted. Like there's in heaven, none of that's there. Sin's not there. Evil's not there. So all that stuff that we know we're in the world and we know what the world contains, none of that's there. So there's a lightness, for lack of a better term, when we're in heaven. Well, we ought to have a lightness here. And we can have a lightness here. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So that's another thing too. Lots of times we're carrying it around, but God says no, we're to cast all of our cares upon him. He'll take care of all that. That takes personal discipline to understand that that's his battle and not ours. That takes a discipline that when an attack comes, when we've become spiritually stagnant, it takes personal discipline to cast all those things that are holding us down and giving them to God and realize it's not ours, but it's God. It takes personal discipline when somebody here on earth seems to be coming after us personally and trying to hurt us emotionally or physically or whatever. It takes everything within us and a great discipline to understand our battle is not against flesh and blood, but what? Powers and principalities. So it might be coming through a person, but it's really a power and a principality. It takes discipline to weed your way through that. And you know, that would take being grounded in the Word too. To cast all our cares upon Him. To deliberately cast all our cares upon Him. Hey, when the mail comes and there's bills in there, go, Lord, you see them. Your bills is in there. I paid your tithe. The curse is removed. There's your bills in there. And I thank you that you've given me what I need to take care of them. If we don't do it, if we don't cast all our cares upon Him, what does the Word say happens? Remember the parable of the sower? It says that the cares and the worries of this world come in and choke the seed out. What's the seed? The Word. So if we've got Word and we're believing God, what happens when we don't cast all our cares upon Him? The worries and the cares of this world come in and choke the seed of the Word of God out, and we become stagnant, and we're not believing God for those promises in our lives anymore. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, go to verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So the last thing that we can do when we feel like we need revival, when we need a spiritual renewal, when we need a battery charge and a jump start, is we need to look to Jesus that we be renewed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues is something that we should be operating in every day. That we've been given a heavenly language, that it's literally our mind goes in neutral, the soul man goes into neutral, and literally the perfect will of God is praying through us. What could handle a situation in our life any better than the perfect will of God coming through us? Nothing. So a place that we can start is being renewed in that area of the baptism of the Spirit. That renewed practice of operating in our prayer language praying in the Spirit. The Bible tells us to pray with the Spirit and to pray with understanding. Have you ever walked through something and, I know women do this because my wife's done this before, but she'll say, when we first got married, she'd be crying, and I go, "Why are you crying?" I go, "What's wrong?" She goes, "Nothing." I go, "Oh, you're just crying because nothing's wrong." "Yeah, nothing's wrong." Well, see, there was something going on, right? And it might have been later that she would have understood it. But normally, it's not normal behavior that you would just cry and not know why. But occasionally that will happen. Sometimes it happens because we just happen to be broken. Sometimes it happens because, it was like the pressure, and then the steam came out. Sometimes that's what happens. But we do sometimes carry around emotions that we don't ever really understand. But we can pray with the Spirit, and we can pray with understanding, and sometimes it always turns out to be a good thing, but sometimes it turns out to be things that we weren't expecting. Like, how can I win more friends and influence more people? Oh, well, you can be more likable. Oh, what's wrong with me? It's not me, it's everybody else. Be an interesting world if everybody thought like that, wouldn't it? The fire that we received with the baptism of the Holy Spirit is still there and available for us to operate in. Look at the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Go to verse 5. It says, so it's repeating the one that we just read a minute ago that says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Now go down to verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." That would be like Auburndale, Polk County, Florida, and then the world. In geography, that would be the equivalent. So that we would receive the baptism to be witnesses in all of those places. If you've already been baptized in the Spirit, then ask God, he says, to fan into a flame the gift of God which is in you, or stir up the gift of God that's within you. Jesus told, when he was talking about the parable of the virgins and their oil lamps, he said for them to keep their fire burning, keep their lamps burning. And you know, we need to keep our lamps burning spiritually. You know, we used to sing that in children's church with the kids. Give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning, burning, burning. Well, you know what? We need to, sometimes those little kids' songs that we were saying and listen to have the deepest meaning. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, give me oil in my lamp, keep it burning, burning, burning. Those are all important things that we need to remember to do. So how do you keep the batteries charged and the jump start going? Acknowledge your need would be number one. I gave you Mark chapter 9 for that, verses 20 through 24. Ask the Lord for personal revival. And I gave you Psalm 85, verse 6 for that. Pursue forgiveness and cleanness. Remember, create a clean heart in me, O God, Psalm 51. Consider that that God might be trying to bring something to your attention. And I gave you Deuteronomy chapter 8 for that one. Rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Cast your care upon the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. People will say, well, I tell you what, I'm just carrying such a burden. Well, the Bible says that God is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. So if you feel a burden, it's not God. He removes burdens. He's the burden removing, yoke destroying. Yoke is that thing that goes around your neck and holds you down. Why is that? Because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And cast all your cares upon Him because He cares what you're going through. Give it to Him and trust Him. And the last one is to stay continually in a frame of mind where you want to be filled and filled and refilled and refilled with the Spirit. Seek to continually be filled with the Spirit in the state. You can say, well, when I got saved, didn't I receive the Spirit of God? Yes. And when I was baptized in the Spirit, didn't I receive the baptism of the Spirit? Isn't that all the Spirit you can get? Yep. But here's what happens. When we get word in, encouragement in, spirit in, then we're filled up to here. But we go out through the day, by the time we get home at night, that supply level may be down to here. So then tomorrow I need to be refilled. I'm refilled up to here, and tomorrow I go out and my supply's down here. If you just continue to go through each day and not replenishing, you're empty. Try to do that in the gas in your car. You'll be hitchhiking. You can only lay hands on it for so long, and you'll be hitchhiking. And I'm going to tell you what, if you'll be faithful in prayer, faithful in the Word, faithful receiving from the Lord, He'll jumpstart us. He'll get us right to where we need to be and where we want to be. He'll change our family. He'll change our work. He'll change our lives. He'll help us to fulfill the promises that He has for our lives. He'll do all those things. It's just a matter of us making a decision that's what we want personally in our lives. Amen? If you would, stand with me this morning. I want to pray with you.